Okay, we all have a couple seconds for an ad. And this is just me, your host of this podcast, talking about Intimate Times. Intimate Times is a swingers club. It is a good club. I don't know if people like the proper term of swingers or lifestyle or whatever. It's a fun club. I love going there personally because I like to dance and I like to fuck. So two of those things you're allowed to do there. If you're looking for a club to go to, all you have to do when you go there and it's your first time is tell them that you heard about their club by my podcast and you get in for free. And right now they're still closed, but keep your eyes open. You never know when they're going to reopen. So here is this week's podcast. It is about leather and I am absolutely just thrilled about how this podcast went. So guys, here it is.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am pretty good for an old guy.
I'm so excited that you're here.
Okay.
Okay, so everyone, welcome. This is Why Choose One, and today I have a special guest. And he's going to be talking about leather with me today. You can just introduce yourself.
Hi. Yeah, my name's Scott Bryan. I've been in the leather community for probably pretty close to 40 years now, my husband and I. I have a variety of leather titles. I've organized a number of leather community events. I've taught for probably 30 years. I might have a little depth in the community.
Just a smidge bit, which is why I'm so excited that you're here today, that I can talk to these talk to you about these questions that I have. Yeah, so finding the right things to ask you has been a bit of a struggle for me. I rewrote these questions over and over again and tried to make them so they weren't selfish, so that my followers could hear from a true leather man and what that stands for.
Well, I am a leather man. I don't know whether I would consider myself true, because true is only true to the person who's actually running the journey.
That is true. Yes. So this episode is very special to me. I've always kind of felt leather, and when I started learning about it and reading up on it and talking to people about it, I really felt there was a connection there. So tell me what your definition of leather is.
Well, this is where we're going to probably have an issue. Everything I've seen written on leather is one person's view of what leather is. Leather really isn't much more than giving yourself the permission and the ability to follow your own path. That's levels, mentally, physically, spiritually, sexually. It really encompasses all of those different parts of you. So when you start talking about the definition of leather, then you run into the problem with the fact that everyone is different and everybody's journey will be different. There's a few things that we hold in common, but as for like a black and white definition of what leather is, you will never find it.
This is very true. Interesting. Okay. So what is the difference? You know, we hear a lot of people talking about gay leather versus straight leather. And I just kind of want to know, like, how do you differentiate between that other than the obvious?
Well, And these are my own personal opinions, so yes, your mileage may vary.
Of course.
Gay leather has a very, very strong sexual component to it. Whereas I find in a number of pansexual events and in straight leather events, they tend to almost eliminate the sexual part of the whole situation.
Okay. So do you find that, like, so with the, is there a difference between, like, when they talk about old guard, new guard in regards to, like, gay leather and straight leather?
Oh, here we go. Old guard, new guard.
So what is old guard, Scott?
Honestly, old guard are the people that you look up to that have given you a little guidance along your way, whether they understand they have or not, whether they've done that by standing at the head of the pack and leading, or whether they've done that in a one-on-one mentoring situation. But they're literally nothing more than the generation before you. That's what old guard is.
So do you find that there is a different, so with the different generation of, like, old guard versus new guard, do you find that there is, like, the old guard is, has different standards for what is leather versus?
Well, they have different understanding of what their journey has taken them to. Mm-hmm. But quite honestly, it doesn't negate the fact that new people coming into leather find their own path, and what becomes acceptable now is different than what was acceptable back then. Times have changed. Sorry about that. So there's nothing more than just that alone. Doesn't mean that either one is right or wrong. It just means they're different.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, so can you tell me a little bit about your story? Like, how did you get started into this?
Well, believe it or not, when I was a young man, I was actually married to a woman for quite a number of years. And after we separated, I decided to explore a bit of my own sexuality. And that's when I discovered that I was gay to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So secondly, on top of that, I started to investigate the different parts of what being gay meant. I've been with the same man now for, well, next year will be our 40th year together.
Congratulations. That's beautiful.
And he was always very open to various ways of expressing your own sexuality. So consequently, our friend list became very eclectic, and we did pick up some leathermen in our friend group. Now, at that point, I was very preppy, very twinkish, very, yeah, these are probably terms you don't understand.
I know what preppy is.
Twinkish is a young, it's a gay term referring to a young gay man. You know, they're light and fluffy on the outside and filled with cream.
That's lovely. Twinkish. So you were twinkish, and then what happened? You just fell into the leather land?
Well, I'd been invited to a party by a couple of people that we had had just known. And for some reason, Stan couldn't come to this. So I showed up to a leather event mm-hmm. in khaki pants and a polo shirt and smart-looking marshmallow pumps. And, of course, the boys there weren't having much of it at all. So before I knew it, I was stripped down to underwear. Thank God I didn't go commando that day. And I found myself in a rope harness just to feel what it was like.
Yeah.
Because it's a nice introduction into sort of the more experimental side of sexuality.
Yeah.
And much to my surprise, I found I liked it. But what I found I liked more was the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the feeling of connection and family that happened within this whole group.
That's so beautiful. I love that so much, actually. Do you find that you still, after all these years, you know, still have that connection and family feeling when you think about leather?
Absolutely. There are people I've met 40 years ago that are still exceptionally good friends. There are people that I've met probably a year or two ago that have the same type of feelings towards their life, and they are part of my extended family as well.
That's so wonderful. Okay, so we've all seen, you know, like, you know, Sons of Anarchy and, you know, the biker gangs. What's the difference between like gay leather and bikers? Is there a difference there?
Well, bikers and gay leather are pretty much connected. We really sort of evolved out of the same grouping. So if you take a look at how gay leather was literally conceived, it was slightly after Second World War. And, of course, a number of the farm boys had been over in Europe where attitudes towards sexuality are very, very different. Mm-hmm. And came back to their homes with this exposure. and it left them sort of wanting. You also have to remember that being in an armed force, there is this sense of camaraderie and brotherhood already. And men began to miss that. So they created their own things that spoke to them. So bikers, of course, have this sort of familial grouping. And then you have the additional sort of structure of the armed forces on top of it. And then you have a lot of men. And this is something that Kinsey was just finding out at the time, is that the majority of us really are not fully hetero or homosexual. We are somewhere in between the two. There's almost like a bell curve between those two extremes. And most of us actually fall somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of men looking for something in their lives, and they find it within this community that becomes the gay leather community. It follows out of, you know, everybody being sort of head over heels over Marlon Brando and the Wild Ones. You might want to take a look up at that. Which was sort of the first biker film, and Marlon Brando was pretty freaking hot at that point. and gay men are very visual. So, you know, it sort of followed that if you saw that as an ideal of masculinity, you were going to actually sort of fall into it.
That's so cool. Okay, so, you know, what was it like kind of growing up in a world kind of being seen as an outcast, like a gay leather man in that time?
Well, in that time, I can't really speak to it because I wasn't around at that point. but I read some journals and recounts of that time. And of course, being gay at that point was exceptionally dangerous. If you were found out, you could lose your job, you could be refused medical attention, you could be evicted from your house, you could be institutionalized and electroshocked against your will, or you could be imprisoned. Mm-hmm. So it was a very dangerous time. So there was this sort of secret club type mentality that floated around it. Which is, you know, why you see sort of some still holdovers to it right now. Things like the Hanky Code, which was a way of advertising what you were looking for without actually ever having to say anything that could incriminate you.
Mm. And for just everyone listening, what a Hanky Code is, just so you know, is kind of wearing a certain color of hanky for a certain thing that you want to do. Just clarify that.
Yep. I'll suggest you Google it. Everything's Googleable.
I find it kind of funny now because every time I see someone wearing a bandana with this COVID stuff, I'm just like, I wonder if they knew what they're sporting right now.
Yeah, well, most of them don't, to tell you the truth, and it's probably just as well.
Yeah. Okay, so what does it mean to you to be a part of that community, that brotherhood and family?
Well, there's a certain amount of history that you carry on. I have to look at those people at the original points of this being pioneers, because they really did start to pioneer the situation that we find ourselves in now, where gay marriage by and large is considered just marriage, to be honest.
Yeah.
Where I can freely walk around with my partner and not have to worry about specifically either being attacked physically mm-hmm. or being arrested. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a real phenomenal shift that has happened within my lifetime to see the acceptance of how I am and how I am accepted within the general society.
That's so incredible. I couldn't even, like, I feel like I'm too young to even know, like, what that would even feel like, to feel that difference of acceptance over the years that have come.
Well, I mean, you've probably heard the term in the closet.
Yeah.
Well, in the closet was where you stuffed all of your private life, your all of the things that you figured were not acceptable to everybody else. And you only stepped out of the closet when you felt safe enough.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, you led a double life for your entire existence.
That sounds horrible. Even for
it's exhausting is what it is.
Like for the very few maybe 2 years I spent like in the closet being poly and kinky and stuff. And that was exhausting. And that was 2 years.
So imagine having to spend your whole life that way. And quite frankly, I'm not minimizing the idea of being in the closet about being poly or being an alternate sexuality, but the consequences of you being found out were not ever as severe as what we had to deal with.
Absolutely. So crazy. I couldn't even imagine. It's amazing how far we've come, truly.
Exactly. So when I look at our trans brothers and sisters right now, I see them where we were 30 years ago.
Mm.
But I also see them struggling to find their own voice as well. And it's something that we had to do as well. The only advice I can give them is that you actually get further along your cause by having allies with you rather than making everyone an enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big, big thing that's happening these days. It sounds like with the transgender,
Black Lives Matter. Yeah. I mean, there's a number of things that are very, very, incredibly difficult to understand in our society right now.
Absolutely. Okay, so I do have a question. So you know how like you hear about certain like gangs or leather, or is there ever like initiation or some kind of period where someone has to kind of prove themselves as worthy in order to be kind of like in the club of the brotherhood?
There never was in my case. I was pretty much accepted with open arms, but that was this community that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, everybody had a different take on this, because if you go back to my original statement, everybody's journey into this particular lifestyle is unique.
Yeah.
So you would get leaders in various communities that would determine that you couldn't be part of the cool kids group unless you proved yourself as part of it.
Yeah.
Now, I also had a bit of an advantage too, because I had already done some community work and people knew who I was and they knew they would be safe with me and they knew the type of person I was.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, somebody walking in off the street saying, I want to be part of this, would have to also develop those relationships with the people they wanted to be part of.
Yeah. So you say like community work. So what does that like mean to you?
What was that again? Sorry, you broke up a bit.
Oh, so you said something about community work.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that kind of like mean? Like, what is like, how would you kind of invest your time and time and effort to create these relationships using community?
Well, back, and I'm talking of the early 80s at this point,
mm-hmm.
Just prior to the AIDS epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So what was being pushed was an extension of what Pierre Elliott Trudeau had said a decade earlier, which was the government of the nation has no business in the bedrooms of the nation.
Hmm. That's beautiful. I like that.
Yeah, that was something out of 1969, I think he said it. But what it also meant was a lot of laws and attitudes need to be changed. So I was doing a lot of work with a couple of groups. One of them was GATE, which was the Gay Alliance Towards Equality.
Mm.
And GALA, which was Gays and Lesbian Association.
Wow. And so did you just like kind of partake in like events and fundraising and stuff?
Yeah, there was a lot of fundraising. There was a lot of education. There was a lot of who can we not so much push towards an agenda, but literally get to think about changing the laws that were on the books that would be detrimental to us. So that we did a lot of work behind the scenes on that.
Wow. That's incredible. You've lived such an interesting life. To me anyway, it appears very interesting.
Well, it was a very different time. You also have to remember that, you know, it was not uncommon for people to scream faggot out of a window anywhere around the bars. It was not uncommon to see gay bashings all over the place. As a matter of fact, I knew 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 men that were actually killed by a roving band of gay bashers at that time.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. That's horrible.
Well, it was just the reality of what life was at the time. Whether it was horrible or not, it was the reality. And it doesn't mean anything whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. You have to find a way to make your way through that.
It's very true. That's very, very true. Okay, so is there like a spiritual ideology that intertwines with the concepts of leather?
Well, I have a specific spirituality that I incorporate within my own leather expression.
Mm-hmm.
After a whole lot of investigation, I found out that I have enough Celtic roots to actually claim them as a good basis of what I am. And I have been trained as a Celtic shaman.
Wow, that's cool. So do you kind of like the people that you mentor, do you kind of like help them with that path and show them what like kind of Celtic roots are?
I help them find their own path.
That's a really good answer. I really like that.
The point of the fact is that nobody has all of the answers here. Nobody will ever have all of the answers. And as soon as you hear somebody saying they have the answer, you should be running the opposite way. The only answers that are going to mean anything to you are the ones that you find out on your own exploration, the things that speak to you and the things that actually move you in a direction you want to go.
That's so inspiring. So here I was like, all right, I'm going to hear this awesome responsive where I'm going to be this hardcore badass motherfucker talking about leather. And now I'm like, oh, this is so, I like this. This is so, so path directing.
Well, you have to remember that leather is an expression of your life.
Yeah.
But it's an expression of your life that impinges on every part of your life.
Wow. Ah, I love it so much. I'm like writing this stuff down, making notes for myself. okay, so how does BDSM come into play with leather? Because I find a lot of events kind of have the two tanned together.
Well, I mean, leather for gay men is actually BDSM.
True.
So breaking it out as a separate part is sort of meaningless to me.
Is it because of that connection with sexuality with gay leather?
Perhaps, I suppose. I mean, we don't... Something I have seen at the majority of events I've been at that have been majority straight is that they seem to want to put down rules that barrier you against expression. You know, you can't. And I can think of the number of things that I've had to sign to get into various events. And most of it is you can't.
Do you think that that rule has changed over the years?
They've gotten
more complicated?
No, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
Whereas you go into gay leather events, and to be honest, in any gay leather event I have ever been at, there has never been a waiver to sign.
Wow.
Ever. People know what their behavior is expected to be, and if they don't qualify or keep up with that level of behavior, they are asked to leave, and they are not asked to return.
Well, it's kind of no different than if you go to a bar, you don't have to sign a waiver, right?
Exactly. The same type of thing. This is where I have this huge problem with, especially straight and pansexual expressions of leather, and this idea that you have to quantify everything. You have to have everything black and white. You have to have rules for everything. No, you don't. I'm spending my life kicking the sides out of the box I got put into to find out who I can be without somebody telling me I can't do something.
You are so inspiring. Like, I freaking love it. This is, your answers are so good. I couldn't have asked for anything better. Okay, so I do want to ask you, like, is there any resources or books you'd recommend for someone who wants to get into leather or find information out that's good?
There's a variety of writers that have written about their expressions of their own journey. Pretty much anything by Guy Baldwin is a good choice. Anything by Race Bannon is a good choice. There are probably two or three other authors that I know of. The names are escaping me right now.
That's okay. If you want to, you can just message me and then I'll make a post about it.
Yeah, and that's fine. But there are some well-respected people within the leather community who speak about this individual journey that you need to travel on. Mm-hmm. And I do recall one person saying that accepting somebody else's definitions of leather is a cheap way out of the journey. You don't experience your own journey. You experience someone else's. And that's lazy.
Well, it's not putting in the work.
No, it isn't. And without putting in the work, you don't sort of reach this state where, yeah, I mean, you can beat the hell out of somebody and then sit there and hold them while they cry on your shoulder. Because it's exactly what they need.
Wow. So cool. Okay. So do you think, well, since you don't really have a definition for leather, so there's young people coming into this community that have different attitudes kind of towards life versus, you know, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that there'll be another new leather kind of generation that will completely change up the way leather looks today?
Well, I think that anything that's alive will evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And if the leather community is alive and vital, it will also evolve and change as the circumstances change around it.
Truth. So much truth. Okay, very last question. I want to know how leather has changed your life.
Well, it literally has changed practically every aspect of me. It gave me the confidence to stand up in front of people and actually talk openly and honestly and vulnerably about my own journey to see if there was any value for someone else. It also gave me the ability to decide for myself, to empower myself as to what was right and what was wrong for me and what I would accept. So it has a lot to do with, I really do think it has a lot to do with becoming a more well-rounded, open, understanding person. I mean, the one thing that we do understand about leather is that you never know it all. You never do. So consequently, you are always learning. Always.
That's pretty much every avenue in life, you know, like that's everything that we do, you know, we're constantly learning. And I just love that there's a connection with that concept with leather.
Well, it rolls into a sexuality expression that some people aren't very comfortable with. That's fine. You don't, it's not for everybody. It doesn't have to be for everybody.
Yeah.
But if it is for you, then you have to put in both the work, and you also have to put in an idea that you'll never know it all. You just never will. So it keeps you confident and humble at the same time.
Absolutely. Well, I can't thank you enough for this incredible opportunity to speak with you about leather. And I really appreciate you taking the time. And just thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Anytime, my sweet, anytime.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.